Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk.
12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat?
Isaac Robb.
Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. We need more dogs.
Jason Sukanik.
Try to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. Cat's still going crazy in there.
This is Prime Time on the Fan Sports Network.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Meow. Looking in the mirror. Be a dog.
105.1 and 1080.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
The Fan.
Welcome in just after 5 o'clock here on a Tuesday. Has the rain officially started yet? Are we getting it in?
I don't know. I have not looked out a window recently.
Yeah. We don't have any windows in here, but no. Supposedly the rain's going to come, but it's going to dry out by the weekend.
We used to have a beautiful view of the Willamette.
I know. Now we just have like a, well... I don't know what we have a view of. We have like a Cycle Town Coffee or something.
Yeah.
And then like another brick building. But they got rid of all the homeless people.
They did.
Yeah, we didn't even have we used to have a nice little like homeless encampment.
Camp over there, yeah.
Yeah, but now that's all gone too. I have noticed them like, whatever you will about our hellscape of a city, that don't worry, the National Guard's coming to save us by standing around and doing God knows what. Maybe they can like direct traffic on I-5, kind of keep things moving a little bit.
I like that.
At least around here, I have noticed that they are moving out the home. I don't know where they're moving them to.
Maybe they can manage the traffic at the tunnel in 26.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Can we do that? Like, you know, like
I would love that. That affects me daily.
Yeah, some sort of like merging thing. And if you could do it with the choke neck there at like Delta Park, I don't like that either.
Yeah.
Like an Army Corps of Engineers sort of thing.
If you're going to be here, at least make yourselves useful if there aren't any wars for you to end.
Yeah, they're coming. Although they're going to have to come around and stand in the rain. I guess, like I said, Wednesday and Thursday, the rain's a-coming. Although I don't mind the switch to the fall weather.
No.
It's like, but I don't like when it's like when it's raining real hard. But if you get a little mist in the morning, like you throw out a sweatshirt to walk the dog, like there's the moisture in the air, feels good.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with fall spooky seasons here. Mm-hmm. I've seen all the spirit Halloweens that are popping up.
Yep. There's one in Beaverton nears that I think used to be like a... It was like a baby store, like a Bye Bye Baby was what it was called. Now it's a Spirit.
I am fascinated by the Spirit Halloween people.
Yeah.
Like what?
Like every year they must have somebody like in their offices that is like just keeping tabs on all vacant buildings that we can go and do a temporary lease in. Like what a business model.
Yeah. And they can be at everything. Like from a Hallmark store to like.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Any size, we'll pack as much or as little stuff in there as we can. We'll just take the real estate.
It fascinates me. It's just like a.
Do you think they do well? I mean, they must, right?
It has to. Like, I saw two new, just in my little travels today, one in kind of downtown Vancouver and one kind of over like in the Orchards area. Guess what I saw up today? randomly to Spirit Halloween. I thought, I'll be damned. And by the way, the Spirit Halloween that I saw today kind of in over kind of like by the Vancouver Mall, that same little strip mall, that Spirit Halloween has been in like three different buildings now. Like, cause each thing, like it, like as it moves around, like I think one's now like a plasma cancer center. That was a Spirit Halloween. And then there one that was a Walmart and then it was a Spirit Halloween. And now it's like an air park. And now I think the other one, I don't know, it was like a buffet or something, and it's now a Spirit Halloween.
Okay, so I've tried to do a little digging on this, and it says that Spirit Halloween is a highly profitable company, obviously leveraging their unique and efficient pop-up store model based on renting vacant retail space on short-term leases. But it says that in 2023, so they don't have last year's data, but they made $1.8 billion in 2023.
God, how do I get into the Spirit Halloween
game? I don't know. Their holding company is Spencer Spirit Holdings.
I'm convinced it's just like one of those evil corporations that you see in like the Jack Reacher movies where they force people out of buildings and then like murder the owners and just take over all their assets. And it's like, we're the Spirit Halloween.
And they do it all in Halloween costumes?
Yes. Weird things are going down. But you know it's officially fall when the Spirit Halloween start popping up. Also, I heard you say in the update there that Dylan Gabriel, I haven't seen the official report, but that seems to be the consensus.
Yeah, a couple of Cleveland reporters, one of them from CBS, is saying that that's their plan this week. I don't think that Stefanski's announced it, but it sounds like that's where they're going.
So, and I don't know if Daniels is back for the Commanders, but if not, you'll have four duckies starting next week in the NFL.
Yeah, 1/8 of the league. That's pretty special.
Yeah. Yes, and I know two of those aren't full-time starters.
No, but just to have four of the 32 out there is pretty cool. You'd have Herbert, Nix, Gabriel, and Mariota if Jaden Daniels isn't playing.
Well, and now there's talk too of Dante Moore. If you look at the odds to be the number one overall pick,
he's skyrocketing.
Dude, he's skyrocketing up the boards because every other quarterback in college football is crapping the bed.
Right, and it's if he is the number one QB coming out of this class, as long as it's not just a system-based thing, and it seems like he's showing a lot more skill than just system-based stuff, there's a decent, it's reasonable to think he could be the number one guy.
Yeah. I mean, and look, that just bodes well for you, and I know that, you know, Will Stein's probably going to be gone next year taking a head coaching job somewhere, but stuff like that's good for your program. Like, when you're sitting down with kids in the living room and you're like, hey, you want to play, like, if you're a receiver, why wouldn't you go to Ohio State or go to LSU? Right? Like, this is
sure. Absolutely.
And if you're a quarterback, well, there's something to be said for, hey, we got four of them starting in the NFL.
I mean, even before, because now Will Stein has taken two quarterbacks and made them Heisman candidates, Heisman finalists. Yeah. And even before that, you had Herbert, who totally different regime. So the landing crew may not lean against that, but you've got some QBU pedigree going on all of a sudden.
The other one today that I saw news out of the NFL is they're saying Tyreek Hill was interesting because we saw the injury last night and it looked like he broke his ankle. And then we heard that it was a dislocated knee. And I was like, there's no way that was just a dislocated knee. Well, it turns out when he dislocated his knee, he tore all the ligaments in his knee.
Yeah, he shredded it.
So, but like I saw an Instagram video with him today. Same thing. I've never seen someone in better spirits and happier about shredding their knee at 31 years old than Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And his agent came out today and said that he doesn't need to have another surgery and they plan on him being available week one in the NFL next year.
Probably not with the Dolphins.
At 32 years old coming off that knee injury, I mean,
he's not going to be in very high demand.
I wouldn't think so.
He also carries a lot of baggage.
Well, he's a massive pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if he were a guy who was just going to come in, fall in line, hard worker, you know, show the rookies the way, whatever. But he's not going to mentor anybody.
No.
He's admitted to not spending a lot of time with the playbook. Like, you have to deal with a headache. And if he's not a productive headache, then why would you bring him on?
Like, I wonder if we've seen, you know how I feel about 30-year-old receivers. Like, if you look through the history of the NFL, like, I'm telling you, do not give multi-year deals to receivers over 30 years old. It just doesn't work. It never works. Like, it's just, it's like one of the universal truths of the NFL. And so, like, when Cooper Kupp signs or Stephon Diggs, we always make a big deal, DeAndre Hopkins. And then you, like, look at the production, and you're like, oh, yeah, like, what happened to him? Like,
yeah, well, don't expect much.
Yeah. Well, Davante Adams has this going on in the Rams. Like,
everyone thought they were going to be this huge dual threat because of Puka and Devontae. Like,
no.
Devontae's been around for too long to be that guy.
Yes. It's just, it's kind of one of those things where when you reach a certain age, and not that Tyreek Hill can't still play the game. There's a place for him somewhere.
But his advantage is that he's just faster than everybody. And if you got a reconstructed knee, that's probably not going to be the case.
Well, and at some point, he's not the same receiver. We do this with Odell Beckham Jr., and he'll still have a mystique around him. But, you know, Tyreek Hill will have a complicated legacy in that I think you'll remember Tyreek Hill for a lot of the wrong things, but make no mistake about it, Tyreek Hill is one of the greatest receivers to ever play.
There was a time when he was truly unguardable.
Yes.
Playing with the Mahomes offense, you couldn't put safeties deep enough to hold him, and then once you did, he could kill you on an underneath route.
Tyreek Hill is one of those guys that when you look back, and I'm not saying he's Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor changed the way offenses played. Joe Gibbs developed the single back offense to deal with Lawrence Taylor. That's how good Lawrence Taylor was. And I'm not saying it's that level of impact, but this too high safety look that we have now, that's all the rage. You look around the NFL, everyone's now playing these too high, you know, kind of cover shell looks. That was based on Tyreek Hill and the Kansas City Chiefs. That was brought in and made back in fashion because of Tyreek Hill. And I thought about that when I was sitting there and I was listening to his agent and saying, I think it's Rich Hill. I think it's, to pull that. Yeah.
I thought he was a Rosenhaus guy.
Is he a Rosenhaus?
He was a Rosenhaus guy, but maybe they split.
Yeah. I wanted to scroll there because I saw it. Oh yeah. Never mind. It is Rosenhaus. I knew it was like one of the big name guys. I was like, of course you're a Drew Rosenhaus guy.
Of course.
And you know, Rosenhaus is saying the same thing. He's like, oh no, we'll be back to start the season. I'm like,
He might be back, but he's not going to be the Tyreek Hill that wows everybody. He already isn't now.
No. But at the same time, make no mistake about it. Tyreek Hill is truly a special player. When I think of, and maybe this has a little bit of the Antonio Brown thing, like receiver is such a weird, is there a more unlikable position in all of sports than wide receiver?
Sometimes the safety who wants to take credit for other people just dropping balls or the quarterback overthrowing. But yeah, I mean, the receiver's way up there.
The DB that gets beat and then the ball gets dropped.
They do the wave off. They do the seatbelt buckle over. I got you locked down, strapped in. And you're like, dude, he just threw it out of bounds by 15 yards. What did you do?
Yeah. I still contend the most unlikable position, not player, the most unlikable position in all of sports is wide receiver.
I can see that.
It leads professional sports in donkeys. It just does.
It's the most diva, right?
Yes. Yes. It is. And there's some good ones that go about their business, or even the ones that are flashy but are still like I think when you look at like a Jamar Chase
or Justin Jefferson even
I think are still the two best receivers in football, and they certainly have their showy ship. You know, they do their dances.
They're
and all
flashy,
that.
But they're not divas in that way.
No, but there is something unique about that position that lends itself to general jackassery. You can go down the list. Just from Odell Beckham to Chad Ochocinco
to Keyshawn.
Keyshawn to Antonio Brown to Tyreek Hill. And I think Tyreek Hill isn't quite as extreme as Antonio Brown, but it is interesting that those two guys are first ballot Hall of Famers. And unquestionably, for a 5 or 6 year run, Tyreek Hill, more than that, were either the best or the second best receiver in the league.
At least the most dangerous.
And I think both of them will get known or be remembered for things other than being as dominant as they were, kind of like a T.O. sort of like. Terrell Owens was so good.
Well, and you talk about a guy that like changed the game and that was unguardable. Like, he was that of his generation.
Yes.
And then you get caught up in all the, you know, push-ups and weightlifting in his driveway and the tears and the Sharpie and like and all that stuff, yelling at quarterbacks, yelling at coaches. You forget that he was an absolute freak who was, you know, the Calvin Johnson of his time.
So good. He was so, so good. And I don't know. I don't think we've seen the last of Tyreek Hill, but I think last night you saw the last of meaningful Tyreek Hill. This smacks of he'll play on 3 more teams for the next 4 years, retire at the age of 35 with a very complicated legacy. He'll come back and sign next year with, let's go, he'll sign with a team like, let's think of someone that needs receiver help that's supposed, he'll
like
be
the Commanders or something.
Yeah, be in the Commanders.
Someone like middling-ish that think they can get a bump or a pop out of it. And
the
like
Texans.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe the Jaguars, something like that. And that'll work for
Cardinals.
It'll be for a year. And yeah, he'll end up in Arizona and then he'll have one more stint. Well, he'll end up somewhere. He'll be in Seattle or something like that. And it'll just quietly kind of fade away. Or maybe he gets one more Super Bowl like Odell Beckham. He'll sign at the end of the year when, in a place like Kansas City or with the Rams. And it'll just kind of fade into obscurity. And then he'll pop up on Instagram, TikTok, or the police blotter. And that'll just be his weird legacy. But I thought about that last night. Is that the end of meaningful Tyreek Hill? And if it is the end, that's a bad like human being, but a hell of a football player.
No question.
We come back. We'll get into some more NFL news and notes as a 1-3 team just got some bad news today. And I don't care how good you are. There's one thing that you just can't hide from in the NFL. And this team is going through it right now. Primetime. When we come back. Talking a little NFL here. By the way, I didn't realize how pissy people get about ties. Like, I know people don't like ties. You know, it's that whole soccer thing, but like the
obviously
amount of,
a tie, you know, a tie.
Hugh Jackson.
The amount of just anger that was out there about that Cowboys-Packers game ending in a tie. I guess I just didn't have the full, is that like very America? Is that like, we're just there's no ties here?
Yeah, maybe. I feel like, and I guess I would agree with this. I feel like after, especially a game like that, that's like 40-40, you got to find a way to have someone be the victor. And I've seen people joke that like, just trot out position players and have them kick field goals until like do a PK style shootout.
So obviously they don't want these things going into multiple OTs, right? And we didn't like when we had the sudden death, right? We had to have these, like, well, everyone gets a chance to hold the, they have the ball.
Did get shortened from 15 minutes to 10. So they took 5 minutes out of what used to be the full overtime period.
Because, again, you're not trying to kill players.
Right. You don't want guys playing 80 snaps or whatever.
Right. So so the way things are going now and the way field goal kickers are executing, it does feel like we are now setting ourselves up for more ties.
Right.
Although we almost didn't have one. The Packers were half a second away from, quite frankly, one of the biggest disasters I've ever seen in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
What in God's green earth, from an operational standpoint, were the Green Bay Packers doing? It was almost like they had no intention of trying to win that game.
Yeah.
It felt like they were just playing for the tie.
Yeah.
But like no sense of urgency whatsoever. And they threw that ball into the end zone. My God, if that thing gets tipped up in the air, if Jordan Love takes half of it. I couldn't believe it.
They were lucky to get out with the tie.
Shocking that they did that. But would you rather see games in ties, or do you want to see something fluky where we go to like 2-point plays like we do in college, or is that, quote, gimmicky?
No, so what I think is that once you get to the end of that 10 minutes, if you just go alternating 2-point plays until someone doesn't match, I mean, you're probably playing a max of 6 more snaps, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think that would at least satisfy people. Now, there may be coaches and people that work for the teams that are like, no, we don't want our win or loss to come down to just those 3 plays or those 6 plays or whatever. But I think that fans in general want to see a winner and a loser.
Yeah, people are like, the game felt like a letdown because it was a great game. I mean, it was no defense
40
played.
To 40.
But, you know, in a game that we kind of thought was going to be the Micah Parsons revenge game, dude, that game was bananas. Just that back and forth slugfest. And I don't know, I guess I just didn't have as much problem. Now, I don't want to see it end in a tie. I'm not outraged by the idea of there being a tie, but it felt like that there was like a national backlash. This is America. We don't tie.
Yeah, and I wouldn't consider myself to be one of those outraged, but I do think there's probably a better way of resolving it that assures a winner and a loser. That maybe is just sudden death 2-point tries. I don't know.
So is that like, because I'm trying to think of the only way that you can do it after the 10 minutes, because you can't keep the game going.
No.
And so maybe would you be in favor of the 2-point play then?
Yeah, I would be. I mean, and the thing is, I'd even be in favor of giving the starting that same 10-minute period, giving the teams possessions to figure it out, try to win the game the right way. But if you get to the end of that, then start running the plays at the goal line or
so again,
from the 2.
Now we're into that fine line of, again, you're asking people to play more snaps, where at the end of the game, half of those teams are gassed anyways.
Well, I'd also think, now college has changed their overtime so many times. I wouldn't mind if, let's say the NFL went to kind of a hybrid college model where, okay, give both teams a possession that starts at the 50. So if you don't move the ball, you're still kicking a 60-something yarder, or you can go down and try to get a touchdown. And then those are two real football possessions. And then if nothing's decided there, then maybe you go do the 2-point tries.
Because you can't, like, the problem with it is you're just going to end up in a field goal kicking contest so often.
Yeah.
And again, you look at the end of the game, you look how exhausted players are. Mm-hmm. This idea that you can just keep extending games,
no.
I'm telling you, at the end of these games, guys just don't have anything left.
They're not engineered for an extra 30 minutes of football.
No, it's just not the way it works. But it was a hell of a game. Now, the dud that was supposed to be the game of the week was the Ravens and the Chiefs. We knew one of those teams was going to walk out of there 1-3, and there was kind of the sense that, you know, Kansas City hadn't really looked the part all year, and Baltimore had lost some close games. They had played a tough schedule. All of a sudden, here we are now, and it's funny how 1 week changes the narrative in the NFL, and I always say, do not make any sweeping judgments after 1 week. The NFL needs to happen in 4 weeks. It's four quarters, and now we have an overtime because of the 17th game. But after one game, boy, it sure feels like getting Xavier Worthy back and playing the Ravens defense. Everything about Kansas City and what's wrong with Kansas City, the narrative today is Kansas City's back.
And ordinarily you'd think that getting to play the Ravens defense wouldn't be a positive thing, but considering some of the injuries that they have sustained and the way things have been going so far, that combo that you mentioned was plenty for the Chiefs to get over on them.
And now we're talking about the Ravens, and you're 1-3, and it sounds like Lamar Jackson may miss a couple weeks. You know, he left that game with a bad hammy. And again, now we're just hearing speculation reports. We haven't seen anything official, but the reports are today that he could miss 2 to 3 weeks with a hamstring, which I'm telling you, if you're the Ravens, you're sitting there at 1-3 and you had seven defenders.
You got Cooper Rush waiting in the wings.
And by the way, you lost your best offensive lineman. Okay. Your run game all of a sudden seems sluggish and really non-existent here with Derrick Henry, which is funny because the first two games we were like, oh, King Henry, the guy's immortal. Again, how quickly things change. And now you're possibly staring at a couple weeks without Lamar Jackson at 1-3. And this is the one thing that's just, that's why I said every NFL team fears it. There's a 53-man roster. There's not enough good starters in this league. The one thing that teams, and there's nothing you can do about it, are injuries. And you're a 49er fan? My God. You want to talk about a team that over the years, It feels like with the 49ers, when they're healthy, they're a Super Bowl team, and when they're beat up, thanks for coming, season's over. Now, the Niners, on the other hand, have managed to ham and egg their way through the schedule, and they're 3-1. The difference is, look who the Niners have played. And this is where schedule plays such a big role. And this is why I would also caution, don't write off the Ravens just yet. Now, I do think the Ravens' defensive problems, those may not be fixable. Right, your best defensive player is out for the year. You've got a secondary all of a sudden that just looks like it's aging horribly, like bread, not wine. Look, you got an overpaid middle linebacker right now that again appears to be on the wrong side of things. And when linebackers tend to go, same thing. They're like running backs. When it goes hard. The Ravens defense has been bad all year, but unlike the Niners, who the Niners had the Saints, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks.
And then they lost to the Jags.
Lost to the Jags, which, by the way, was a close game. They just, special teams ended up killing them.
Duval.
And they have Mac Jones, who is actually a competent backup quarterback, no offense to Cooper Rush. But if I took that Niners team and I had them play the Bills, the Lions, and the Chiefs, does anyone doubt that the 49ers right now are 0-4?
Yeah, they might be 1-3.
Might be 1-3. And so when I look at the Ravens and you say, what's wrong with them? Lost a close one to the Bills, blew out the Browns, lost a close one to the Lions, and then got bludgeoned by the Chiefs. There are real problems with the Baltimore Ravens right now. And there may be some serious long-term issues with this defense. And when you go 1-3, only one team has ever started 1-3 and won the Super Bowl, and that was the New England Patriots. And they did that Tom Brady's rookie year. Tom Brady wasn't starting quarterback. That was the Drew Bledsoe year. Gets the punctured lung. Here comes Tom Brady. Thanks for coming. You win the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying that the Ravens are going to be a Super Bowl team, but when you look at the Ravens' schedule, they have the Texans, the Rams, the Bears, the Dolphins, and the Vikings. That is not the Bills, Lions, Chiefs. A lot of this is scheduled based. Now, the Rams are a legitimate team, but you're playing the Texans. The Texans are awful offensively.
They're a mess.
Now, with Cooper Rush, I'm not certain you're scoring on the Texans, but can you find a way to ham and egg a win against the Texans? The Bears aren't very good. The Dolphins aren't very good. The Vikings and the Browns. And then you've got the Jets. So the only team in there that you look at, oh, and by the way, after that, you've got the Bengals.
It's manageable.
There is a manageable slate for the Ravens. You have to find a way to beat the Texans. God forbid Cooper Rush, but you have to find a way to beat the Texans. But if you do, and even if you go in at that point and you lose to the Rams, because I think the Rams are really good, hopefully Lamar can come back in 3 weeks, and then you have a run of the Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. There is a lot of meat left on that bone. And when you look at that division, no offense to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not a great football team. That's the definition of mediocrity. The Ravens can still do this. They just have to figure out a way to not play the worst defense in the NFL, and you need to get Lamar healthy. If you do that, just be careful riding off the Baltimore Ravens, who have not looked very good right now, but have arguably played the hardest schedule in the NFL while dealing with massive injuries at the defensive position and now dealing with the quarterback.
It might be recoverable for them. Might be.
Might be. Might be. But that's just the one thing. If Lamar's out for an extended period of time, it won't be. Because again, that's the one injury you just can't overcome, especially when you pile on a bunch of the other injuries.
Got an interesting suggestion here for how we settle overtime. Before the game, each coach has to report in an envelope to the official how long their kicker can hit a field goal from. Once the OT finishes still tied, each distance is revealed and each team sends their kicker out for that distance.
Isn't that like baseball does this kind of a hokey, like, man, it's a, and we all get pissy about it.
And then, yeah, so much so that they took it away for the playoffs.
Yeah. And, you know, hockey does this. Hockey does a gimmicky overtime.
Right.
But then they go back to it in the playoffs. They go back to regular overtime.
So that's, I think, maybe what NFL wants is just do something different that gives us a win or loss in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, go back to the old school football that we know.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see if, because, you know, the kickoff thing has become kind of gimmicky, but it's part of the game. I'd be intrigued to see what you do about that. And by the way, one tie doesn't necessarily have to mean we make any sweeping things, but they are saying with the way people are kicking in these sorts of rules that have been put in place in the shortened quarter, we may see more ties. And the one thing you can say about the NFL, they do not sit on their hands. If they perceive that they have a problem with their way their game is being played,
yep,
they will deal with it, and they will deal with it now.
I mean, remember that NFC Championship game, like, was it Rams-Saints that got decided on the brutal pass interference? Yep. They're like, we can't let that happen again. We have to review PI. And then that was terrible, so they went back. I mean, they will try if they think they've got a problem.
Yep. We come back. Fan behavior. Is it getting worse, or is this just fan behavior? Primetime here on The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to talk some fan behavior here, but real quick shout out to baseball playoffs that got underway today. We've had great games. We're not high scoring, but Cubs was 3-1, couple of home runs. Tigers and Guardians was a phenomenal pitching duel.
Mm-hmm.
Scooble was fantastic. And now we got Red Sox-Yankees. Red Sox 2-1 going into the bottom of 8. This is kind of fun. I love playoff baseball.
I do too. There is a, and I think you'd agree, playoff hockey can feel this way too. Yeah. There is a different hanging on every pitch, every pass, every puck, every shot, every swing of the bat in playoff baseball than you feel in the 162 of the regular season. There's just a palpable tension in those stadiums, especially when these games are close, and I love it.
Yeah, there is. Again, being a hockey's my favorite sport, and yes, there is a massive difference between a regular season hockey game and a playoff hockey game. But there's NBA has a big jump. I would say that the NFL feels like every game is a bit of that's a pit fight, right? That's just, you know, yes, there's more of an intensity in the playoffs, but very rarely are you watching two good NFL teams play, which is why, by the way, the NFL is king. Last night was bad ball, but that's bad ball because it's bad teams. When you watch two teams that are actually good and playing for something, dude, that thing's nasty, whether it's week one or whether it's week 16 or whether it's the postseason. The NBA, a lot of times, it's just, God, regular season games are brutal. But in the playoffs, there does seem to be an intensity that picks up. I'd still say there is no greater bump up from regular season to postseason than Major League Baseball.
I think that's fair.
And I watch a lot of regular season baseball simply because, you know, I watch a lot of Mets, and then I try to catch some of the Mariners and stuff. But, I mean, and I can get involved. Down the stretch there with the Mets, every game it felt like for the last month was a playoff game. But there is something when you're in the postseason, and I got my eyes on this, and I got to see more of the Tigers and Guardians than I did of the Cubbies today. But when you're watching these games and you get to the late innings, seriously, it is literally like every pitch feels like you're about to see something memorable.
One mistake could mean the game. It could mean a moment that's indelible in your franchise's history. I mean, it's great.
And you can see it on players' faces. You can see it in the crowd.
Yep.
And if you've ever had the chance to go to a playoff game, the buzz and the energy in a Major League Baseball playoff game is so good. Even in that stupid 18-inning crap that
I had to sit through. You get two strikes on a batter, or there's a runner in scoring position, everyone rises to their feet, the volume comes up a little, there's a buzz.
One swing. So just a little shout out. Hopefully the Reds and the Dodgers give us a little bit of a nightcap here. But this has been really good. Are we up against it? All right, let's break. When we come back, I do want to touch upon fan behavior because we kind of mentioned this with the Ryder Cup yesterday, and then we didn't get to get into it a bunch because of, well, there was so much going on, but something happened in Colorado today. Actually, it happened over the weekend, and then the repercussions were kind of handed out today, and it just kind of got me thinking about fan behavior in general, and is this one of those things where is this getting worse, or is just fans? So we'll break now, come back, have a decent little segment, and then we'll get into Club 1080 primetime here on The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm watching the Red Sox Yankees here, and it got me thinking about like kind of boorish fan behavior, because there may not be a group of people that hate each other more than Red Sox and Yankee fans. I mean, it was a couple years ago. I forget whether it was Yankee fan or Red Sox fan, but one of them drove a car into a group of the other one.
Yeah.
Killed some people.
I think that's right.
You know, I mean, that is, there's some real animosity there. I also saw today that the University of Colorado got fined $50,000. And I do want to give a hat tip to Dion, who is, you know, I think Dion's kind of an eye roll at this point.
Yeah, it can be a lot of bluster, a lot of, yeah, not always the most substance, but a lot of flash.
But Dion came out today and I thought had a really nice statement where he apologized to an entire religion and said, that's not the way we go about things. He said, I love you. And if you missed it, in a shocking development, we had yet another incident this weekend where a student section, by the way, Oregon had this a number of years ago. They started the wonderful F the Mormon chant.
So original.
As BYU played Colorado. And I said this at the time, having played at that university, and look, I'm not LDS, I'm not Mormon, haven't entered foot into a church in 15 years. And if you know me, I am not a BYU honk by any stretch of the imagination, and I have plenty of problems with that university and some of the views of the church. But what I will tell you is that church is full of a lot of really good people, and that school is full of a lot of good people. And whether they are or not, it's not okay to stand up there and chant F the Mormons. And I've always been amazed that we allow people to get away with this.
If you did it with other religions, if you got out there and did it with like the Jews who are under a huge political fire
or
right
the
now,
Muslims?
Like a Muslim, yeah, it'd be a huge,
so
huge problem.
If we have a student section that chants up and chants F the Jews, something tells me that it's going to be more than a $50,000 fine.
Yeah.
If someone stands up and says F the Muslims, there's going to be a good problem. But when it comes to the Mormons, for whatever reason, and by the way, this happened so many times when I traveled. It happened at Mississippi State. It happened at Florida State. It happened, it happened more times than I can count. The F the Mormon stuff happened all the time. And it always baffled me that it was never a story. And so this is what I'm saying. Like, I played 20 years ago. I graduated I graduated in 2000, 2001. So it's been a while. But I heard that stuff going on then, and it was never an issue. Now, the last couple of years, I think USC did it, Oregon did it, Colorado did it. There's been three that I can remember off the top of my head in the last like 4 years that have been fined now and had to be reprimanded for the F the Mormon chants. And then we had the Ryder Cup thing, which was as bad as anything that I've ever heard. I don't know if you've seen some of the clips going around. Roy McIlroy's wife had a beer dumped on her. There are people calling Roy
like Gaislers.
Gaislers.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, it's really.
They even had one of the PA announcers had to step down because she was helping lead the fans
yes.
in an F you Rory chant.
Yeah.
The person employed by the Ryder Cup with a microphone helping hundreds or thousands of other people drop an F you to the opponent.
Dude, some of this stuff is nuts. I was watching. I was embarrassed. As an American, I was embarrassed at the behavior at the Ryder Cup. And look, I'm as much USA as anyone else. Like, I wanted to pull. I was upset that you bet on the Europeans, you son of a bitch. And by the
America,
way,
America, yeah,
I'm a Swedish citizen too. My mom was born and raised there. I have birthright citizenship. And I'm still like, dude, let's go full America. It bothered me, you and Rupp, you freaking commies, both, you know, bet on the Europeans. But just
we were right, by the way.
This, yeah, you were. That level of just nastiness. And Rory even talked about it. Rory said, why are you chanting F me? Why aren't you chanting for Scottie Scheffler?
I've got his soundbite on that. You want to hear it?
This is Rory.
I don't think we should ever accept that in golf. I think golf should be held to a higher standard than what was seen out there this week. Golf has the ability to unite people. Golf teaches you very good life lessons. It teaches you etiquette. It teaches you how to play by the rules. It teaches you how to respect people. And, you know, sometimes this week we didn't see that. So This should not be what is acceptable in the Ryder Cup. But, you know, we will be making sure to say to our fans in Ireland in 2027 that, you know, what happened here this week is not acceptable. And it's, you know, for me, it's, you know, come and support your home team. You know, come and support your team. You know, I think if I was an American, I would be annoyed that people, I didn't hear a lot of shouts for Scotty today, but I heard a lot of shouts against me. And it's like, support your players. You know, that's the thing. So, look, it was a rough week for all of us. But at the same time, you know, we shut them up by our performance and how we played. And we tried to, you know, I chirped back a few times because it got to me a few times, but we tried to handle everything that came our way with class and poise. And for the most part, I felt like we did that.
And I know that obviously Shane Lowry got involved in this a little bit. Roy at one time told someone to shut the F up. But when you're being called a little bundle of sticks, mm-hmm. when people are just F you the entire time, when your family is being heckled.
Well, Lowry said that. He said, you should have heard the stuff that people were saying to Erica McIlroy all day long on the course. And she's going around following her husband, trying to support him, trying to support Team Europe. And she's getting heckled as if she's one of the people out there.
So I guess I don't want to be one of these people that's like, oh, you know, woe is, you know, society. But the F the Mormon thing made me think about that because, like I said, I experienced that almost every road game that I went to. It was commonplace. If we played six road games, I bet you that happened at four of them. And this was obviously back in the 90s. So I asked the question, is fan behavior worse, or is this like now that just everything's on camera and social media now and that we're paying attention and it's been magnified? I don't know. I don't know if it's getting worse, if it's the climate we're in, but it feels like that. But I also don't want to be naive and think that it hasn't been like this, but I find it embarrassing.
Yeah.
If I'm a Colorado fan, and I said this when it happened with the Oregon fans,
yeah.
If I was a Duck fan, I would have been pissed
yeah.
that I'm being lumped in to a group. And we always do the same thing. Well, it's a small group.
Sure.
Actually, if it's a big enough group, then an entire stadium can hear it. Cause I heard it.
Yeah.
I was at the BYU game sitting on the other side of the stadium and I heard it. So don't tell me that it's a handful of people when you can hear it through an entire stadium.
Yeah.
That's a cop-out.
Yeah, and I do feel like, so there have always been bad apples in fan bases. There have always been people who either want to say things that are inappropriate or people who want to start fights or someone who thinks that they can get close enough that they can put hands on a player. Like, those people have always existed, but I do think that now, and I don't know how much of it is a social media effect, but there is... To me, it seemed like there was a notion from American fans that this event was an opportunity to actually affect the outcome by getting under someone's skin.
Yeah.
So it's like, I agree with Rory's point. Why not just come and root on Scottie Scheffler against Rory? That would be so easy. But I think those fans who are doing that, who are crossing the line, are thinking, if I can just piss him off enough, I can help the USA secure a point. Yeah. And I think that if you get players to react, it affects their team. It ends up on social media, and it I think unfortunately makes some fans feel like they're part of the game, and it's awful.
It's amazing to me that in a public place that you're comfortable saying some of the things that you're saying, and whether that's the Ryder Cup, whether it's fan chants, it baffles me that sort of mentality is. I don't know. And maybe that's my thing. I understand that it's always been around, but it feels like it's being more accepted and that we've kind of reached the point of, well, F those guys. And I don't know. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I'll say this too, like with NFL games, it's made me, NFL stadiums to me are kind of I'm good.
Stay away.
It's not my gig.
Yep.
And again, maybe that's always been the case. And maybe I'm just falling into the trap now of I see NFL fights every week. But when I do go to Seahawks games over the years, I've seen those incidents with my own two eyes. I was at a Viking game a number of years ago where a bunch of Seahawks fans ended up dumping a bunch of beers up above on a group of, that had kids there too, that were dressed up in Vikings. I was at a Rams game a couple years ago, and I saw a fight break out kind of right in front of me by super fans, you know, the guys that were, you know, super dressed up.
Yep.
And I see some of that, and it just, I don't know. I feel like it's getting worse, but I don't want to make sweeping judgments. But when I saw that on TV,
yeah,
it was a bad look. It was a bad weekend for fan behavior.
And then the other thing that I saw in this, and I'd love to play it here. I think it's really interesting. Is that I think that pointing any blame back at the players is a little bit like victim blaming the girl who went out dressed up too much of a certain way for what happened. But Paul Azinger used to captain the U.S. team, and here's what he said about Rory's comments.
Yeah. I give Rory credit for that. Now I want to take a shot at Rory, who I love. You know, Rory probably turned down $500 million not to go to live. And he's a European, and we see how much he wants to beat our tour. But he stayed here, and he fought for us. He fought for the PGA Tour, so I love him for that. But today in the press conference, after it's over, he's saying, I think golf should be held to a higher standard of decorum. Isn't that what he said? But in the meantime, he says, yeah. F you, in full voice for the world to see. He turns around and says to the guy, shut the F up. The guy in the media asked him today, how did that feel, Rory, to tell the guy to shut the F up and then hit it 2 feet? And he said, it felt pretty effing good. And I'm like, but which is it, Rory? Is it that golf is held to a higher standard? Or are you just going to F you, the fans, and act like that's okay? So I love Rory. You know that. But you can't say that. You can't say the fans need to behave better, and then in the meantime,
yeah,
lay them to waste.
Really? That kind of sounds like Jackie Robinson. You know, when someone calls you the N-word, and then you're like, well, can't
you just turn a blind eye?
So if someone calls you a gay slur and then dumps a beer on your wife and shouts unbelievable, like awful things to you, we're now blaming Rory for having a reaction to that.
And that's just it. Is he, I mean, Rory got more abuse and his wife did than anybody on Team Europe this week by a long shot.
But they all got it.
They all got it. But he was also pretty demonstrative back. Yeah. And even talking about, I mean, it wasn't even mentioned there, but he was talking about class and decorum. He went out of his way to take the Team Europe flag and cover up Bryson DeChambeau's name afterwards. Yeah. So it's like, he's still doing petty things too, but those are apples and oranges. He's not chucking drinks at people. He's not coming to other people's place of business and talking S to them, calling them certain things.
And so. I guess, and I have seen, and again, you got to be careful because, you know, you can extrapolate things, but I have seen plenty of people defending making Paul Azinger's point. Now, Tom Watson, on the other hand, who used to captain the Ryder Cup,
said he was ashamed.
He said he was embarrassed. Yeah. That was me. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed as an American. But yeah, I mean, so I don't want to say that how many people are embarrassed versus how many people are making excuses, but you know, there's a prominent member of golf that seems to be making excuses, and I've seen plenty of people that are making excuses for the fans' behavior. And it goes back to the same people that made excuses about the F the Mormon chant. I would also like to point out that a Mormon church was shot up this weekend, and I haven't heard boo about that. You know, so we've had multiple instances over the last couple of years of F the Mormons, and all that happens is, oh, you know, no big deal. Here's $50,000 fine. Someone drove a truck into a church, lit it on fire,
shot a bunch of people,
killed 4 people, hurt a bunch of others in a Mormon church. I didn't hear anything about that. So at some point, words have consequences, and it just, oh, that kind of rubs me the wrong way that is allowed seemingly. And again, not affiliated with that group. Haven't been to that church in a long time. But it does bother me that seemingly that you can do what you want to that group of people.
Different standards for different groups.
And there does seem to be no repercussions.
Yeah.
Or in the case of this, you know, Kobe Bryant can drop the F-bomb and immediately it's like a big deal. But we can say it to a bunch of European golfers, and because they're European, it's in the midst of a competition. Well, that's just being competitive. We're just trying to get under people's skins. At some point, man, you know, that ticket to go to the game does not give you the right to just be
a lot of
racist,
people think it does.
Bigoted piece of crap.
They think me buying a ticket means I get to be part of this environment.
Yeah.
And I get to dictate things.
Yeah, I just, and so it's just one of those that's been rolling around in my head. And I think the church shooting kind of like drove that home for me.
Yeah. Understandably.
And yet it's just not something that we just, that gets talked about at all. and in light of a group of people doing that. And again, I just asked the question, what if a group of college kids were doing that at a prominent football game? And then the very next day, one of those churches was shot up and people were murdered. Something tells me that it might be a bigger story, but because it's that group of people, we're fine. It's fine. We'll make a little apology and you write a $50,000 check and no big deal until the next time it happens. At some point, we got to look around and just be better. And I don't know where that starts. I don't. Maybe it's other people in the crowd, but I know people don't want to speak up because no one wants to get punched in the face and no one wants to have a beer thrown at them. But the next time you're at a sporting event and someone starts in with that crap, it can't be allowed. At some point, there has to be some civility brought back. Roy said that the golf should be held to a higher standard. How about we should just be held to a higher standard?
That's it. That's just it. It's general. Not just golf. It's that people shouldn't talk to other people like that, period.
In sports, yeah, I would say sports does need to be held to a higher standard. And I get it. Sports is competitive and it's fun and we like to talk trash and all that. And I don't mind hostile environments. But to say that because you're at a sporting event, all decorum gets to go out the door and you get to say whatever the hell you want because you bought that ticket, I don't buy it, man. I don't buy that at all. We need to be better, not just for golf, just in general. All right, we come back. Club 1080 will try to lighten it up just a scooch. And we'll keep an eye on this Red Sox-Yankee game.
It's getting good.
It's getting good here. Going, chance here to go to bottom of the ninth with maybe a one-run game. Primetime here on The Fan.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.